for us.
Yes. Item 11 is concerning a supporting resolution for San Benito County local agency ordinances to control salt inputs from self-regenerating water softeners. We are proposing a resolution that amends waste discharge requirements for 5 entities in San Benito County by adding a finding that domestic and industrial self-regenerating water softeners are a significant source of controllable salts. And Cecile DiMartini of our staff will be providing a brief presentation on this.
Okay.
Good morning once again. Cecile DiMartini, the Point Source Permit Staff for San Benito County. Today I'll be giving a brief overview of item number 11, the resolution support of the San Benito County local agency ordinance to control salinity inputs from residential and industrial self-regenerating water softeners. I'm going to be paraphrasing self-regenerating water softeners because it's such a long word to say, and I'm just going to, every time when I mention water softeners, I am alluding to self-regenerating water softeners. And today I am going to do a quick presentation using Prezi. If you haven't seen this type of presentation software before, I hope you're not distracted by it, but it is actually quite interactive, and I find it to be a great tool for doing presentations, so I hope you enjoy the presentation. And I'll get started here. The California Governor approved Assembly Bill number 1366 in October 2009, and essentially this was a legislative act that gives authority to local agencies that own and operate a community water system, sewer system, or water recycling facility, and it allows them to take action by ordinance or resolution to control salinity inputs from residential water softeners to protect the quality of the state. The ordinance or resolutions must be performed through the public hearing process and can only be enacted if the regional board makes a finding that the control of the residential salinity input from the water softeners will contribute to the achievement of water quality objectives as stated in the regional board's basin plan. And that's stated right here, and if you can't see that. So Assembly Bill number 1366 also added section 13148 to the California Water Code. And here's a quick excerpt of the 13148 Water Code section. And essentially here you can see that the section applies to only particular hydrologic regions in the California, state of California, Central Coast being one of them. This section the Water Code allows, again, local agencies more control over their salinity by giving local agencies additional authority to regulate water softeners. Another portion of the Water Code also defines that in order for this action to occur, that the regional board must make their finding based on evidence in record, such as a source determination study or other appropriate studies. The Pajaro River watershed and the groundwater basins in the region face water quality challenges due to salinity issues from legacy pollution resulting from ag and other activities of waste from ongoing activities. The city of San Juan Bautista conducted a salt reduction study in 2004 due to chronic salts violations of its wastewater discharge requirements. From what I understand, they've probably paid a good over $20,000 in fines for the last 5 years based on some salt violations. And essentially the survey and mass balance calculations done in this study indicate that removal of the on-site water softeners will reduce salt and wastewater effluent by 38%. The Hollister Urban Area Water and Wastewater Master Plan recognizes the need to reduce total dissolved solids and other salt entering its wastewater treatment plants in the Hollister Urban Area and in the unincorporated areas from all sources. This includes the requirement to regulate the use of new and existing residential water softeners to the extent allowed by the law. It's shown here.
I don't know.
Aside from being an unprecedented effort among local agencies, the overall purpose of the master plan is to improve the quality of municipal drinking water, industrial supply, and recycled water for urban and ag irrigation users, and also to provide a reliable and sustainable water supply to meet the current and future demands of the Hollister urban area. And finally, the most recent study done in 2007 by the Water Resource Association of San Benito, they conducted a technological and economic feasibility study assessing alternatives to an ordinance limiting or prohibiting water softeners in the city of Hollister and the communities of Ridgemark Estates and Cielo Vista. The study found that the residential use of water softeners contributed at least 46% of the controllable salt inputs. Essentially, I'm here today doing this presentation. We received a late comment from the Pacific Water Quality Association in regard to the this resolution. And we're just here to clarify that the Central Coast Water Board finds that the control of residential use of self water softeners by adoption of this resolution will contribute to the achievement of the water quality objectives approved in the basin plan, give the authority to the local agencies to work toward this goal, and therefore Waterboard staff recommends the board adopt resolution 2011-215. And I'm open for questions if you have any.
Okay, any board questions? All right. Why don't we get, we have two, go ahead.
I just have one quick question.
Go ahead.
So
yes.
I just want to make sure I understand what's proposed. So what's proposed is a finding by this board that in San Benito County, water softener salts are a significant component of salinity in the water, the salts in the water? Is that essentially what we're doing?
Yeah, the studies and the studies that the county has done in the past is in support of that. It supports that fact, and this resolution is asserting that information is available and true, that salinity is impacting their water resources, and this finding is actually going to be inserted into five different orders that are listed in the resolution.
Okay, so this finding applies to San Benito County.
It applies directly to five distinct waste discharge requirements that are located within San Benito County, and these five orders actually are regulate wastewater discharge from their local agency.
And the orders are orders from this. From this board?
Yes, sir.
So, if I understand the effect is that it then allows local agencies other than this board to have the authority to restrict use of water softeners.
Well, specifically salinity inputs from water softeners.
Right.
So not necessarily the water softener, but the salinity input from them.
And I guess my question is this strictly something that, and excuse my ignorance here, but is this strictly something that's a finding that we make that empowers these other agencies to then take action? Or is there a further step where down the road we have the authority to order these local agencies to take action?
Or this gives the authority to them to create ordinance or resolutions within their local agency to manage.
And so I guess we have the authority down the road to require those agencies to take steps to reduce their salinity in their discharges, but not the ability to specify how they do that. Is that correct?
True. Some of those orders at this point have an effluent limit for salts. Some of those five orders are actually meeting those limits, and some of them are not.
Okay. And it's up to the local agencies whether part of their means for meeting those limits is some restriction on water softener use or on salt discharges from water softeners.
Based on the data they've acquired, yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mr. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. DeMartini, I just was curious on, I understand the findings have to be evidential in nature, and you ran through two percentages there, but it was unclear to me. Well, it's just unclear to me. So one of them I took was there was a study that showed there was a 38% reduction, but I'm unclear as to which of the five entities or where that 38% reduction referred to. And then the other figure you mentioned that one of the entities or another broad-based study showed that 46% of the salinity input was based on water softeners. And I was just wondering if, with both of those, if you could just lead me in a little more information there to talk about the evidence.
Sure. The two studies here, the first one, the salt reduction project done for the city of San Juan in 2004, they did a survey of the community as best as they could on who had water softeners, and just based on some interpretation of the data and analysis of, you know, water supply and wastewater results, they ran different options of, you know, if they, you know, if the community went to all to potassium chloride water softeners or high efficiency option or completely eliminated water softener systems, all of those had different levels of salt reduction. And therefore, the 38% that I stated for this particular project report was based on the elimination of salt salinity from water softeners completely.
And you would make the case that the inference there is that similar findings would be made for the other four entities involved?
Yeah, in fact, this study right here does cover the three of them, and the one that I do not have, this covers the Ridgemark, Sila Vista, and City of Hollister. There is one other study that I didn't present here that was performed by the Sunny Slope County Water District, and just because of time, just to make the point, I think these two brought that to light. I'm pretty sure the Sunny Slope has similar findings.
Then on the input levels, how does a sewage treatment plant normally deal with high levels of salinity? You mentioned, I think, an example of somebody that had exceeded it many times and had suffered financial consequences. But what's actually the process when your input's so high to get to a point where you have a reasonable level of discharge?
On how to treat it and remove it?
Is there a point where the input level just overpowers the treatment capabilities?
Well, you know, most treatment plants aren't designed to remove salts.
Okay.
It's just, unless they know about it and they can install a reverse osmosis system, which is really expensive. But for the most part, it is costly to go to that level, and so these different agencies have made extensive efforts to do these feasibility studies to see what is the most appropriate and attainable process to remove salts. San Bernardino County is actually working towards reducing the salts in their water supply. Therefore, the community will not have hard water anymore.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Wolf.
I got a couple of questions. The first one is if the water board is to adopt this resolution as is, basically, if I understand you correctly, it provides the county and its entities to take actions ranging from an outright ban of all regenerated systems to some other measures to mitigate the soft water needs.
Absolutely.
So it basically, you know, says you can go all the way from saying we're going to totally ban it and you have 30 days to do it to, well, let's come up with an action plan to perhaps set up deadlines of changing technologies, et cetera.
All right. True.
Then my second question is, in the study done, has it looked at sometime what I've referred to as the unintended consequences of ordinance, where, for example, if it is well known that if you do have hard water, the amount of detergents required is significantly higher than if you have soft water. So on one hand, you solve the you reduce the problem of salinity by eliminating the problem with regenerative water softeners. But on the other hand, perhaps you increase the amount of detergent used for laundering, etc., which in turn will increase the degrade the quality of the water going to the sewer treatment plant. Has that been looked into the study?
The San Bernardino County Water Resource Association is very in tune with those kinds of concerns, and they are addressing them from what I can understand. And certainly, you know, ultimately, they are very concerned with protecting their water supply, their groundwater basin, and I'm sure they will. I'd hope that they would definitely continue to find out, you know, the different impacts based on their actions.
Okay. All right. And I said two questions, but actually I had three questions.
Sure,
the last
Tom.
One is the reason for the need for water softener is because of hard water. Mm-hmm. If we didn't have hard water, it wouldn't be an issue. So has these individual municipalities looked also at what can they do to improve the water quality going to the, you know, residential users, which then would reduce their need to have water softeners? Because if we didn't have hard water, they wouldn't have to have water softening devices. So has that been looked at?
They currently have an EIR out for upgrading their La Salt plant, which is their water supply treatment plant. And some of the representatives are here. They can give you a little more detail on it, but yes.
Because I would see it more palatable if, you know, say, well, we're going to help improve the domestic water quality, which then will reduce the need for water softeners.
Agreed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wolf.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions? We do have two speakers we haven't heard from.
Right. I just want to ask a question, Mr.
Go ahead.
Wasn't there a study done by San Bernardino County on water levels and salts some years ago? Is that the report that you're referring to? And wasn't part of that generated because the salts were affecting orchards in the San Juan Basin? And because of the water table was rising, and I'm kind of grasping. I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to recall. But it seemed like that maybe Mr. Yamoko can talk about that when he comes up from Sunny Slope. But it seems to me there was a report by San Bernardino County Water Management District on the San Juan Basin totally. Mm-hmm. Because they were importing water from San Luis Dam, the water tables were rising. Consequently, the salt levels were also rising and affected orchards in the San Juan Basin. Not only were we having discharges from the city of Hollister's waste treatment plant, but also the city of San Juan Bautista, the combination of those. So I'm just...
Yeah, there actually is an annual hydrologic report that's produced by the San Bernardino County Water District, and they do look at groundwater levels They look at nitrates.
Well, that wasn't what I was referring to. It seemed like there was an in-depth study that was done some years ago. And I'm just trying to recall that, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, they have produced a couple studies. The urban and wastewater, urban area water and wastewater master plan may take that particular study into, but I don't recall the exact report you might.
Well, as I get older, yeah. I don't remember all the details.
Well, again, we have some reps here too that may be able to help out too.
Okay, let's go. We have two speakers. First one looks like Michael and Mecca. Okay, Michael Mecca. And the next speaker is, I can see Kenneth. What is the name?
I don't know. We can find out from Sunny Slope who's going to speak for him.
All right. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to have some comments here. As was stated here, you know, the resolution does give the individual entity to then do a ban if they feel a ban is necessary. The chloride issue is a real issue. And, you know, us as an association, I'm a past president of the Pacific Water Quality Association. My company also manufactures water softeners. We build probably 2,000 or 3,000 a month for various companies throughout the country. There is a real chloride issue. We've helped in some areas where they've actually had some bans and removal of equipment. Santa Clarita, kind of the famous one, Senate Bill 475. Historically, bans have been found to be ineffective. Really, what you're doing is banning the latest and greatest. You're banning the ultra-high efficient equipment that we're coming out today. The equipment we're building today is 80% more efficient, meaning uses 80% less salt than the stuff we built as recently as 5 years ago. And in the case of one fact that was stated there with the 46% contribution of chlorides was kind of a controlled subdivision, I think it might be, Ridgemark Estates, they call it. Soafiska, which is a very high number, and from what I understand, is a very high concentration of self-regenerating water softeners in that neighborhood, somewhere around 92%. So if you took that neighborhood and could knock it down 80%, it would be in compliance. The residents would still have the benefit of soft water. The gentleman, Mr. Wolf, had mentioned about the cleaning and the chemicals and efficiencies. A residential hot water heater loses 37% of its efficiency after only a few years on hard water. We just had a study commissioned and finished called the Battelle study, and it's available electronically. I can send it to anybody. A tankless water heater has to have soft water. It cannot tolerate hard water. In fact, tankless manufacturers, Rinnai, Naritz, Tatagi, some of the others, if you exceed, depends on the company, 6 to 8 grains, the warranty is void. And you could very well lose the tankless water heater in less than a year. So we've always seemed to be, especially with as efficient as we're building them today, the benefits definitely outweigh the fact of not having it. Now, ironically, what we have found recently, which is why we've got some of these new technologies, the water being delivered to the consumers has kind of turned out to be our worst enemy and the district's worst enemy because of the fluctuating hardness. I live in Southern California. I'm on Irvine Ranch Water District, which is one of the big ones down there. My water hardness goes from 6 grains to 22 grains. I saw it shift 10 grains in a week once. Now, my point is, a typical water softener, everything we built up until a year and a half ago, it can't compensate for that. It is set for a particular hardness, the way the installer measured it, and then he's done. He walks away. And the good units last 20 years. The stuff we're building today are sensor-based and will follow with the water hardness, which is where we get our 80% efficiency. If the water hardness changes, because now we got some wet years versus 3 years ago, the equipment follows it, follows the hardness, and adjusts itself internally.
Mr. Mecca, did you have any comments directly towards what the board is looking at right now, and that is the resolution?
The resolution, as Mr. Wolf was also speaking of, and Mr. Johnston, it It does. I'm enlightened by the fact that it does pertain to this area with this situation. And does it go region-wide? That's a really good thing. It's a resolution. It's an advisory action. I wouldn't like to see it happen, but I understand what it is and what it will do.
Well, it's not an advisory action. It's giving power to local
right.
entities to do what they think is best.
But then the entities do have to do their, go through their procedures,
they
their
do.
Public notifying, right.
Exactly.
Which is, the system pretty well works that way.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your comments.
And I have some information on some of the new technology if anybody wants it.
Okay. You could hand those to Mr. Thomas, and he can share that with the board. Next speaker, I guess, is from Sunny Slope. And you'll have to tell me what your last name is.
My name is Kenneth Gerard. I'm the district engineer with Sunny Slope
okay.
County Water District.
Okay. I can see Gerard now in your writing, yeah. but it wasn't apparent to me before.
Sunny Slope County Water District is one of four agencies within the Hollister area. We are participating in a coordinated plan in the region. Sunny Slope provides drinking water to approximately 5,200 drinking water customers. 1,200 of these drinking water customers have a wastewater system which goes to the Ridgemark Wastewater Treatment Plant, which Sunny Slope controls. The other 4,000 drinking water customers, which Sunny Slope supplies, their sewage goes to the City of Hollister's Wastewater Treatment Plant. Sunny Slope's wastewater treatment plant is currently in non-compliance for salinity on our waste discharge requirements. We are also doing an upgrade to the Sunny Slope wastewater treatment plant to meet the other non-salinity parameters of our waste discharge requirements. Sunny Slope has agreed with the other members of the region, specifically the City of Hollister, the County of San Benito, and San Benito County Water District, to move forward with a coordinated plan to supply soft drinking water to the community in a phased approach. That includes improving the drinking water supply so that water softeners are less needed in the future. We believe that it is integral to the plan to not only provide drinking water to the community so that they will have better water quality and the water softener need will be lessened, but we also believe that we need the authority to control salinity from the residential component as well as the industrial component, which includes water softeners. We do not have an intention to ban water softeners at this point in time. So we would work with local entities through the hearing process to work on various alternatives for water softeners for both residential, industrial, and municipal customers. But once again, we do have a regional program. It includes principally to improve the water supply so that water softeners are no longer needed. For those customers who would like to retain water softeners, we would like to control the salinity from those water softeners. We do not seek an outright ban. Sunny Slope requests that the regional board move forward and give the local agencies the authority to control salinity from water softeners. I am available if you have any questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any board comments, questions?
Maybe.
Dr. Wolf.
What we could consider is, in addition to this proposed to adoption of this resolution, is for staff to have some encouragements that as part of this new resolution, there would be considerations given to new technologies available and provide incentive programs. You know, I think I read before that there were some rebates that were provided at one time. And also include, some reasonable timetables for implementation. I'm thinking about the analogy of EPA requirement on diesel engines, where you had technology improvements and rebates, and then you had timetables phasing out the more antiquated equipment. So this would be, you know, suggestions. So I'm not here recommending that we tell the districts how to do it, but we would include this little caveat saying, and you know, we would encourage you to consider these other alternatives, which then I think would be providing a bit more of a win-win for, you know, the districts and for the community as well.
Okay. I wonder how we could communicate that.
Well, I think some language can be taken out of the districts themselves where, you know, in the information that were provided to us, you know, there was some suggestions about phasing out older equipment, timetables, new technology encouragements, etc. Could be just a, you know, a short paragraph that would, you know, make this this suggestion. And I'm not saying to make it necessarily a new set of regulation, but I'm sure in other cases, you know, we sometimes clarify a little bit our intent of the resolution.
Well, we'll ask Francis. I mean, although I think we're doing is giving them the power to go ahead and make the necessary changes that they feel necessary
locally,
after reviewing all of their information and their studies. They're going to be responsible directly to their constituents in a much closer relationship than we are with them. But we could, you know, encourage.
Well,
I can
say something about that.
Go ahead.
There's already existing in the Health and Safety Code specific laws about the regulation of these water softeners that addresses the kinds of things you're talking about and acknowledges the purposes of water softeners and their contribution to protecting, you know, to operating homes with water that's hard water. And so what this water code provision did was say that the existing health and safety code allowed local agencies to regulate water softeners under certain circumstances. The water code provision added that in order to do that, the regional board needed to make a finding that water softeners were actually contributing to inability to comply with water quality objectives. So the existing health and safety code and the new water code provision together provide that authority, but the existing health and safety code already has very specific requirements for how local agencies adopt restrictions on water softeners. And so I don't think that your language is even necessary. It's already covered in the law. And also I would not recommend that you start trying to recommend additional things that aren't already covered, because there was already quite a bit of, because the legislation already exists to regulate water softeners. In addition, the water board can't specify the manner of compliance. You're simply making a finding that there are studies supporting the conclusion that water softeners are contributing to the inability to meet water quality standards, and that's really the limit of your role in this. And then local agencies will have to consider their ordinances in compliance with existing law and the water code provision.
Mr. Robertson.
I'd like to add that on Monday afternoon, we had a teleconference, Ms. DeMartini, Chris Adair, and myself, and Harvey Packard, with Mr. Mecca and the Pacific Water Quality Association. And at that time, we asked if their representatives had spoken with representatives of the five named wastewater entities. At that time, they had not spoken with them, and we encouraged them at that time. That's where the formulation of the ordinances will take place and potentially have rebate programs and transitional time schedules and elements like you suggested.
Right. And just to add that actually the water code provision specifically includes in the list of ways that the local agencies could regulate water softeners is to enact the voluntary buyback or exchange program for residential water softeners consistent with existing law. A voluntary buyback or exchange program may be conducted in cooperation with local water treatment businesses. So it covers that already, and it just covers a whole range of the different ways from outright prohibition to limiting the salt discharges.
This is a specific section in the code?
Right, there's a very specific, okay, explicit section in the water code that goes through all the kinds of things you mentioned, and then the health and safety code provision that pre-existed the water code provision acknowledges the importance of water softeners and then
all
also
right.
allows regulation. Mm-hmm. So it covers those things you were concerned about.
So what about having the resolution and then making a very short one-line reference to that section, saying pursuant to section XYZ of the water code.
Okay, yeah.
And that covers.
I mean, I think you could say as a board that you're concerned that you want the local agencies to consider all the range of options and not just go straight to a prohibition, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
And consider other impacts on water quality or mm-hmm. whatever.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
It would be easy enough to put that reference in the resolution. It becomes more problematic to start coming up with a lot more language on the fly, but if we could borrow from what the board did with item number 9, we could add to the transmittal letter that and point out that we reference the health and safety code in the resolution, and it refers to those items that you're talking about, different ways of achieving the objective with buyback programs, with current incentives, using latest technology, maybe referencing the local agencies establishing time schedules and that sort of thing. And that way it's not something the board's adopting, and which is problematic at this point, but we could still use English instead of references to the health and safety code.
Would that be okay, Dr. Wolf?
I'm all for the English.
Yes. Okay. Okay, Mr. Jordan, did you have some comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I'm certainly in agreement with Dr. Wolf, too, and I'd just like to make it clear that it seems like this is exactly the type of action this board should take to support local entities who are trying to reduce the salinity. And despite cataclysmic type of projections, banning is just one alternative that a local entity has.
Right.
And I think council's even made it clear in the language that we could pass along that there are other options available. The Pacific Water Quality Association contentions that equipment is working at 80% better efficiency now than it was 5 years ago, I think, is an argument to take up with the five entities.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's credible, those entities all involve people who are elected officials, and they have to answer their constituency who like soft water.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if you have credible information there, I don't see that as being a burden to put upon you to make that case. And so I would support this going forward wholeheartedly.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions on this item? Okay. Mr. Robertson?
Staff recommends that the board adopt the resolution,
okay,
and with a transmittal letter that communicates some of the points that Mr. Briggs outlined and Dr. Wolf
raised.
Okay. Well, I think the idea was that we would change the resolution to have the brief reference to the health and safety code,
right,
and then the transmittal letter would elaborate.
Okay. All right.
I'll enter approval.
Okay.
Second.
Mr. Jeffries made a motion. Dr. Hunter seconded it. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. We will now move to